I'm proud to be a child of the King. I am proud that the Lord loved me enough just to let me live for Him. It's an honor to live for Him, because I don't deserve anything that He's given me. I got a home in glory. I'm gonna have a new body. Wow. Amen. That'll be something to smile about. That'll be something to shout about. You know, and with the trials that we have here on earth, I can tell you now, you might think your problems are terrible, and they may be, but there could be something come along tomorrow that would make that problem look like a Sunday school picnic. You know, it could be your life could be turned over just like that. And we need to continue to trust the Lord. Let's look with me in Matthew, if you would, for today, for a few moments, Matthew chapter 26. If you would stand with me, if you're physically able, let's hold your Bible up there real high. There you go, brother. I think you should have your Bible when you come to church. It's a beautiful sight to see God's sword coming up in the air. This is my Bible. It's the infallible Word of God. It's my roadmap in life. And all false instructions on my journey to heaven. And God's people say what? Amen. I want to begin reading in verse 33. Let's go back to verse 31 first. Let's start there first. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. What he's telling them is they're going to forsake him. They're going to deny him. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, the disciples right here probably don't really realize what's going to happen. They have no idea what's going to happen in the future. Verse 33 is one I want to talk to you about. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Peter's boasting a little bit here. A little pride's getting in his way. Oh, they're never going to make me deny you. I'll be beside you till the end. I'll be your friend to the end. You ever heard anybody say that? And then 2 days later, they turn against you. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, I know Peter didn't want to hear that. But then Peter says unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee three. I do not deny thee. Likewise also said the disciples. So they all said it. Peter said, I'm not going to do it. And they said, we're not going to do that, Lord. Flip over to verse 74 really quick. There's a lot more. Let's look at 74. Then began he to curse and swear and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to stand here today. Lord, hey, let me challenge our church tonight, today, and just help us. Let me say something that would touch a heart. Hide me behind Calvary, Lord. Let me be your messenger. As always, let me decrease as you increase. And God, I'll praise you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many remember what I preached on last Sunday morning? Can you remember this particular title or even something closely related? Except for you, not you. I know you know what it is. There you go. Things will not be in hell. The Lord Jesus is not going to be there. The redeemed that you loved, that told you about Christ, are not going to be there. There's not going to be any relief there. There's not going to be, I tell you what's going to be there. Sorrow, crying, gnashing, wailing. But see, many times we don't realize that to get to, as a Christian even, or somebody's lost. But I want to talk to people today that are not necessarily lost, but some are not necessarily where they should be. And I want to talk to you today about dangers of backsliding, or the things on the road to a backslidden condition. I had a few of them things I want to talk to you. I want to use Peter as my example this morning. We forget about pride. Pride would be the first thing that you would find on that road to a backslidden condition. Let's look at verse 33. And Peter answered, said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended of thee. Listen, so many Christians today think that that the ones have been saved a long time, that they are okay. They don't have to worry about falling away from God. I'm okay. I'm going to do right. And I've got so much power in my Christianity and my salvation that I will never fall. That's exactly when we are weakest. Listen, let me tell you something about pride. Let me read you this. I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be empty before we can be filled. Listen, pride sometimes really ruins people. They're too pride, too boastful, too conceited. Remember when you was in school and you used to talk about somebody, well, he's conceited or she's conceited. They thought a lot of their self, or they had the little nose up in the air or something like that. Listen, let me tell you something. We need to remember that I don't care how much strength we have, how much courage we have, that people think that they will never deny Jesus Christ and yet alone let the master down, yet we let him down every day. Amen. When we have a chance to witness for him, you let him down. When you don't come to worship service when you know you could, you've let him down. You know, but I'm a good Christian. I will never fall. I've got too much pride. Pride will bring you down if you're not careful. The problem with our self-confidence is, you know, it's through us and not through him. Not God. I read a little story about a fictitious story. In a pond, there was two ducks and a frog. They were neighbors. They got to be really good friends. They played together all day long and during the summertime. But as it got cold weather and the coldness started drawing and the season started to change, the ducks realized that they were going to have to move on to a warmer climate. And that would be easy for them to move, but it wouldn't for their friend, the frog. Finally, it was decided between the two ducks that they would put a stick between their two bills, and the frog could grab a hold of the stick, and then they could fly away and take him with them. Just as they were doing so, the farmer in their house next to the pond saw that, and he looked up and said, what a great idea. I wonder who thought of that. Proudly, the frog said, I did. And what this illustrates is, pride goes before a fall. You can't, that you can get so prideful, I can tell you, you can't get too high that you cannot fall. And many times we forget where we come from. I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, when we was young, you know, I was talking about drinking milk. I like to drink milk. I drink too much milk, probably. I drink a lot of milk. But when I was young with a child, we had 8 kids in the house, so they had to do the best they could. So they take regular milk and powdered milk and mix it up so it'd go longer. I never forgotten where I came from. I try to never forget where I come from. Because I can tell you that, you know, only by the grace of God I am where I am now. Not that I'm some kind of magnificent great person, because I'm not. I'm just an old lost sinner, just like Louis said, Lord, save my sorry soul. That's the way I feel. I'm not even worthy to be standing here. I'm not worthy to even be your pastor. I'm not even worthy to be able to call his name. But he did. He loved me enough to do so. Amen. And listen, let me tell you something. On the road to a backslidden condition, one thing you're going to find is pride or pridefulness. We need to be careful. Another thing is on the road to the backslidden condition, you're going to find complacency or laziness. Let's look at verses 40 and 45. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Then he said unto Peter, now we're talking about Jesus coming back to the disciples, because he told them, he said, listen, y'all stay right here, I'm going to go off and y'all pray while I'm gone. But what happened when he came back, he said, what, could you not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, see, as Christians, we get relaxed. We get a little lazy. We get complacency sometimes. And we stop praying for ourselves. We stop praying for our families. We stop praying for our friends. We stop praying for each other. We stop praying completely. We get complacency. The first thing I ask a couple when they start, when they're having trouble, I say, do y'all pray at night? Well, no, not anymore. Listen, that's one step to the backslidden condition. When you quit praying at home, when you quit praying and talking to God and asking Him to do things and help you, when the storm, but let me tell you something, when we quit praying, we get a little complacent and we get a little lazy, but I'm going to tell you something, as soon as that storm comes your way, you kind of get on attention then. God, where are you? Amen. We'll be alert at that time. Then we start focusing on things of God again. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It tells us, be sober. That doesn't necessarily mean be sober from a drunk. It means be alert, be ready, be on go. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I can tell you now, if you give Satan an inch, he will take a mile. Talked to a man the other day. He'd been doing good and kind of got off, backslidden a little bit. And I went and had prayer with him, and he felt, I'm not even worthy of you being in my house. I said, listen, I'm just like you. I'm just a child of the King just like you are. I said, once you fall, if you stay there, it's a long road back. But if you get up and dust yourself off and say, God, forgive me. I'm going back and start back over. Listen, you can go back. But sometimes it takes years to get back where you were. Look, turn with me to Mark chapter 13. I want to begin reading at verse 32. And it's talking about the time of Jesus coming is unknown, or God, when Christ comes back. But of that day and that hour knoweth, now Jesus is speaking here, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, no is has commas on both sides. He's just saying no. Not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. Now he's talking about not even himself, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work commanded the porter to watch. What he's saying in verse 33, you need to be ready. 34, he's saying Jesus is saying, listen, we need to stay awake, be ready, because he's coming soon. 35, watch thee therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, or even at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What he's telling us is, listen, we can just lay down and get a little lazy, walk to, but listen, he's liable to come when we're not watching. We need to be ready. And the God's word tells him he's coming from those who are watching for him. You can't be ready if you're asleep and not doing anything. You know, and I could sleep in a drop of a hat. I can be talking to Libby and go to sleep. She'll see, it makes her, it aggravates her. I mean, I could see that. We'll be talking late at night. I do it just to aggravate you, really. She knew better than that. Listen, as Christians, we can't get lazy. But what really happens at our house sometimes late at night, if I'm sitting there and watching TV or something, I doze off to sleep, I don't want to go to sleep. Because I knew Libby's going to come in there and say, Chuck, you ready to go to bed? And it aggravates me every time, because she catches me dozing off every time. I look like some kind of corpse laying like that. Listen, We've got to be ready. We cannot be asleep because Jesus is coming. Let me tell you something. On the road to backsliding condition, there's prideful in your way, and then there's complacency or laziness or slothfulness or not doing nothing, not caring whether he's coming or not. Listen, you can get too late, you'll be passed by. When we lay down and get complacent, it's easy to get into a backsliding condition. Jesus is coming soon. We need to be ready. Complacency is one of those places on the road to a backsliding condition. Then also, here's another one, number three, yielding to the flesh. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. See, one way that we can tell we're heading to a backsliding condition when we try to solve our own problems our own self or in our own way and not asking God for his guidance. Now, Jesus took that ear and put it back on, but, you know, Jesus didn't tell the man to cut it off. Even though this disciple thought he was helping the master, he tried to do it on his own. How many times we try to create our help our own self by doing our own problems ourselves or taking care of ourselves, and the last time thing we'll do is ask God to help us. As a last resort, we'll try to ask God, we'll ask, say, God, will you help me now? Because we can fix it ourselves. See, in this verse, the person who cut off the ear, he did so on his own. He wasn't under the master's guidance. He acted on his own accord. See, when we try to do things on our own, the way we've always done them, we're on our way to a backsliding condition. We have to be careful. We need to seek God's guidance. How many times have we done things and asked not? I cannot tell you how many times I went and bought a car when I didn't ask God nothing. I thought I could do it myself. And with my own little infinite little small pea brain mind, I got about this big. I thought I convinced myself I could pay for it. Till I got home and Levy and the Lord told me different. How are you going to do that? Well, I done figured it out. But I never asked God's guidance. And it never worked out for me. Until God gave me the guidance to ask him and seek his guidance first. Let me tell you something. When we start getting to a backsliding condition, first thing to do, pride comes up and gets in our way. Second thing that comes up, we start getting complacency. We all start getting laziness. The next thing we know, we start yielding to the flesh and our own desires. And many times we forget God, take him out of the equation. Let me tell you something else that thing is on the road to a backsliding condition is following God at a distance. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. See, once we start putting distance between ourselves and God, we are definitely on a road to backsliding condition. Listen, you've got to stay close to God. You can't love God and love him from a distance. That's like thinking you're going to church sitting at home. I was at church the other day. I went to church Sunday, a preacher, but I was at home. My spirit was there. Listen, we start neglecting things such as prayer, our daily prayer, our Bible study. We don't give like we used to as far as the tithe's concerned. We start missing worship service, and usually it starts on Wednesday nights. I can tell you, if I don't care how strong you are, if you start missing God's house, you will get weak spiritually. And Wednesday nights, you do the first thing. Then comes Sunday nights. And then the next thing you know, you'll start missing out. You start missing on Sundays. You'll find an excuse not to come. Next thing you know, you're out of church altogether. Then when I come to you and talk about it, you get mad at me. I've had that happen. People get mad at the pastor because you come talk to them about their spiritual condition, knowing good and well that they're not where they should be. Pride gets in your way. You get complacent. We get lazy. Then we start yielding to the flesh and doing things our own way. Then we start getting further away from God. Listen, we need to stay close to him. Amen. We need to stay and love the Lord and like he loved us. When we start following God at a distance, we're on our way to a backsliding condition. Then when we start blending with the world, you are definitely on your way to a backsliding condition. Again, in verse 58, it says, Peter sat with the servants to see the end. See, it looks to me like Peter was trying to blend in with the crowd. And it's easy to blend in with the crowd, the sin-sick world. It's so easy to do that. Matter of fact, it's so easy to do that, we do it without even knowing it many times. We start to do things like blending in with a little bit of the world. We're on the road to a backslidden condition. See, listen, God's Word tells us that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Just because your neighbor drinks beer doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because your co-worker curses doesn't mean you have to do it. And I can tell you this, I've heard people say, well, it's not all right. It's not bad to say these little old bad words. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Devil's got you already backslidden. If you think that, it can't be right. And they'll say these little curse words and these little three-letter, four-letter words. Ain't nothing wrong with that, preacher. Well, you ask God about it. I can tell you right now. Get on your knees and say, God, is it okay for me to say that? His Holy Spirit will convict you of that. If you're right with God. Now, if you're not right with God, it's not going to convict you of that. But those words, you know, those words shouldn't come out of your mouth. Well, preacher, I'm only human. Well, so am I. We're all human. That's the reason God saved us, to help us to be quit acting like a bunch of heathens. We don't listen to those little jokes anymore. Listen, when you follow God at a distance, you start blending in with the world. We don't affect the world anymore. The world starts affecting us. See, we haven't influenced the world of people around us anymore. Now they're influencing us. Amen. As a born-again, blood-washed, a child of the King, there should be something different about us. We should not blend in with the world. We should be like blending out of the world. And if your co-workers see that you were a Christian, you should walk away when they talk bad. When they tell them jokes, you should walk away. You need to stay away from that stuff. When you go into the grocery store, you don't need to go by the beer aisle. Just go and pass by it. When we try to blend in with this world, we are on the road to a backslidden condition. Pride will get you there. Complacency will get you there. Yielding to your flesh will get you there. Not staying close to God, but trying to stay at a distance will get you there. Blending in with the world will get you there. Give me another. I'll give you another one that's in the road of backslidden condition. That's in that same road. Standing on the fence. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. Let's look at verse 71, 72. Let's go back to verse 69. I think I got a little time. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with James of Galilee, Jesus of Galilee. Verse 70. But he denied before them all, saying, I don't know what thou sayest. And what's happening? He's sitting over there, and there's somebody who said, I saw you with Jesus Christ. So he gets up and says, I don't even know what you're talking about. You must be a crazy person. If they ain't denying him, I don't know what it is. Verse 71 says, And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there. Now she tells everybody, this fella was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And verse 72 says, And again he denied with an oath. I don't know the man. And to me, when he said, well, I'm with an oath, he probably says a bunch of few little choice words. Listen, I don't know that man. You're crazy. He was adamant about not knowing Jesus Christ. See, Peter was halfway in, halfway out. One minute he would give his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the next he didn't even know Jesus Christ. How many times have we done that? You ever heard your parents say, hey, you either got to come in or you got to get in or get out? As a child of God, you either got to be in or out. You can't halfway do it. And if you're on that road to a backslidden condition, I can tell you, standing, straddling the fence is right there in the middle of that. And so many people want to straddle that fence. They want to look good on Sundays, but they want to cuss a little bit on Mondays. Amen. They want to shout on on Sundays, and then they want to drink a little bit on Tuesdays. Let me tell you something. If you straddle the fence, you might go and fall on over because you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You need to either live right or live wrong. There's no sense in being a hypocrite on both sides. You either love God or you don't. Well, preacher, I love God. Well, then why don't you serve Him then? Preacher, I love God. Why don't you tithe then? Preacher, I love God. Why don't you testify then? Why don't you tell other people about what God's done for you? Listen. As God's children, we should know where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when I told you a story about back when I was a little boy, about 8 years old or so, I went to a big Baptist church, and we had a revival meeting. Well, I'm not sure I knew what revival meeting was. But anyway, nevertheless, when it came to an altar call, and back then had the big deacons sat on the front row, and to me they were like 10 feet tall as a little boy like that. And so I went to the altar. I'm not sure what I went for. I don't remember. I remember one of the big 10-foot tall deacons came over there and said, "Son, I'm not sure if you understand. Maybe wait till you get a little bit older." Well, I think something drew me there. But I'm saying that to say this. I read a little story about a girl who was in a big Baptist church, and they were having a revival. And when I read this, I thought about myself. And the little girl was about 8 years old or 9 years old. She went to the altar and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then she wanted to get baptized. And so the pastor took her off to the side and he was talking to her about baptism, if you understood what baptism was. And I'm not sure the little girl, he realized that the little girl really didn't know what baptism was. So he recommended she wait until she got a little bit older. And as soon as he said that, the little girl burst out in tears. He said, "Why are you crying? Are you crying because she won't baptize you?" The little girl said, "No. No, sir, I'm not crying because you won't baptize me. I'm crying because my friend over there is lost. She doesn't know Jesus like I know her." Amen. And listen, about that time, the pastor realized this girl really knew what she was doing. Amen. Because as a child of the King, she had a burden for a lost friend. Listen, and we need to have those burdens now that we don't have anymore. I thought about that. I said, you know, how many 8-year-olds would know what it means to have a lost friend? I'm going to tell you something. She wasn't straddling the fence. She knew where she stood with God. Amen? And that's how it is with a lot of folks today. They want to follow God, but they also want to do what they want to do in our life. More times than not, we end up doing mostly the things that are closely related to the world than we do spiritual things. Amen? When you're backsliding or when you're straddling the fence, halfway in, halfway out, you're lukewarm, you're on a road to a backslidden condition. And then when you get through all those you've hit all those posts going down that road to a backslidden condition, there's pridefulness, there's blending with the world, there's following God at a distance, there's complacency, there's laziness, you're straddling the fence. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you just deny Jesus altogether. The denial, cursing and swearing. Verse 74 again, it says, "Then he began to curse and swear. I don't know the man." And immediately the cock crew. Listen, when you get to that backslidden condition, eventually you will say, "I don't know Jesus as my Savior anymore." And what's worse than that, he could say, "He don't know you as his child anymore." Because Peter's backsliding ways, it led him to a complete denial of the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you something. When we start on that road of getting backsliding, getting cold and spiritually and not where we were spiritually, it won't take very long for any evidence of God in us to be gone altogether. When you didn't say a bad word, you start saying them again. You shouldn't go here, you start going there again. You didn't hang around your old friends, you start hanging around them again. One minute, Peter was sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "I love you, I'd die for you." And a few short hours later, he denied he ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, Satan's strong enough to make you do that too. See, this morning I want to help you see how slippery that road really is. Many times it's so slippery we can slide down it just really fast. And it doesn't take long to get out into God's back out in the world again. Or how fast you can slide or backslide down the condition, it was up to you. You have to go by these posts in that road of a spiritual walk that you can sidetrack those things. Folks, it doesn't have to be that way. There were 12 disciples that let the Lord Jesus down and who fled, who ran, who deserted him, but one even sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And it doesn't take very long to slip spiritually. It really doesn't. I don't care if you've been coming to church for 30 years, never missed a church service. You can slip just like anybody else. When you get to thinking you're better than anybody else, prideful gets in your way. Many times when you get in those conditions, it's a long way back. In chapter 30, 27, verses 3, 4, and 5, Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned and repented himself. See, see, Judas was backslid then. He sold Jesus out. Then he goes back and tries, let me just read the rest of it really quick. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. This is what he's saying. He said, I have sinned in that, and I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that unto us? See thou to that? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Listen, maybe Judas thought Jesus wouldn't forgive him. I'm not sure what he thought, but he hanged himself. And I read a little bit of history of both Cephas wrote about in those days, and he says that, and he's not for sure, but when he hanged himself with a sash that they kept around their waist. And the limb broke, and he fell down and hits a bunch of rocks and rolled out in a roadway, and a wagon came by and hit him and disemboweled him. You know, that's not in the Bible, but I read that from history. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know. Anyway, we know he hung himself. Maybe that's the way someone here is today. Maybe you've done so many bad things in your life, young people, that you've backslidden so far that you think you never can get forgiveness for it. But the good news is the Lord Jesus will come to where you are today. Amen. There is forgiveness for you, just like he forgave Peter and the rest of the disciples. Listen, if you feel like you're kind of getting scolded spiritually, and listen, I'm a young man, I can do all these things, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. You better worry about tomorrow. Amen. Unless you're in the hands of the one who holds tomorrow. Amen. Amen. I like that song Libby sings, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I've talked to young people, and listen, young people today will not listen to the gospel anymore. They just don't want to hear it. If you're on that road to that backslidden condition, and you're sliding fast, the Lord Jesus will catch you if you'll just ask. You know, I might have told this story before about an old lady who was in church, and it was a kind of a dignified church, and every time the Holy Ghost would give her a little nudge, she'd say, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! So the pastor finally called her off to the side and said, Listen, you're kind of interrupting our service. He said, I wish you'd just kind of calm that down. She said, I'll try, Pastor. Well, about next service, somebody said something. He said that kind of got her going. She said, Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Well, the pastor called off the side again and said, Listen, you know, the lady was a widow lady living by herself. She said, Listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll kind of calm down and quit saying all this praise the Lord and hallelujah, it disturbs people and makes people uncomfortable. He said, I'll have the deacons bring some groceries over once a week. So for a few weeks, she's thinking, Well, yeah, I need some groceries because I'm on a fixed income. She said, Preacher, that'd be good. She said, I'll try to hold it down. So a few weeks, she didn't say nothing. So, they had a visitor, evangelist come in one day, and a few Sundays after, and she was sitting there, and the Holy Ghost was about to bust. She was really about to have a Holy Ghost fit. She couldn't say anything because she knew she wouldn't have any groceries. So finally, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. She just said, Groceries or no groceries? Hallelujah! Groceries or no groceries? Hallelujah! Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when you're on that road of backslidden condition, you don't think about hallelujahs. You think about, help me God. You need to stay straight and don't fall into that degree of a backslidden condition. I can tell you, pride will get you there. Striding the fence will get there. Living in the flesh will get you there. Hanging with the world will get you there. And I'm telling you, it'll get you there fast. No matter what they say, trust Jesus. I'm waiting for this, Libby. Would you come? There was a group of college students. You know, that when now in commencements at this particular college, you couldn't pray because of the government had decided, well, they couldn't pray because somebody might be offended or something like that. So the graduating class was all, they had this, was all sitting out there, and one man got up there and gave a speech, and he at the end of it, he was trying to say amen, but he couldn't say amen because he knew that they would get on to him about it. He said, "This is what my master has done for me." He said, "In his name." And then all of a sudden, all the graduating class sneezed at the same time. That was their way of saying, "Amen, Jesus." Listen, we have to stand up for what's right. Amen. But if you're sliding down a backslidden road, there's no way you can stand up. You're still falling. You're still slipping. Listen, if your pride's gotten your way, you need to do something about it. If you're straddling the fence, you're trying to live one way day and the one way the next day, you know who I'm talking about. You know if you are or not. I don't have to tell you. Holy Spirit's already talked to you this morning. Not because of me preaching good, because it's what's right. Amen. You know what's right and what's wrong. You're going to have an opportunity right here in a minute to change that. When you get to thinking you're better and holier than thou and you're Mr. It or Miss It or Mr. Loverboy or Miss Queen of the Prom, listen, God can change it or Satan can use it. You need to make up your mind. No matter what they say, groceries or no groceries, say hallelujah. Amen. Pridefulness, straddling the fence will get you nowhere. Loving God and being humble, staying close to Him, praying, study the Word. Are you on the road to a backslidden condition? Are you living like you should? You know whether you are, you know whether you aren't. There's no ifs, ands, buts around it. There's no tallying around it. You either are, you're not. You either are living right or you're backslid. One of the two. Or you're lost. And let me tell you this. Your children know where you stand. They know. Your neighbors know where you stand. Your family knows where you stand. Your mother knows where you stand. Your daddy knows where you stand. Because you have a life that you live in front of them. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you Lord, for what it means to me and what it means to our church, what it means to this whole generation. There's power in your word. Lord, I know your word sometimes cuts like a knife. It goes all the way down to the marrow of the bones. And many times we don't like what it says, Lord, and we tend to take the good part and leave out the bad. But Lord, we know that if we're living right and doing what we're supposed to do, all your word's good. There's one here today that's sliding down that backslidden road. Maybe they've got a little pride in them, Lord, or maybe they've been straddling the fence, or maybe they've been catering to the world, and Lord, maybe they're doing things that they shouldn't do. And Lord, you know who it is and what they need. I ask you, God, to touch that heart when we stand just a moment. Let them walk to this altar and say, "God, I do not want to go down that backslidden road anymore. I want to make a stop right here and turn around and go straight." Maybe there's some people here, Lord, that's not sure where they stand. I ask you to be with them. Maybe there's someone here today that, Lord, that they're a good consecrated Christian, blood washed and living like they should, but they have some lost loved ones. Be with them also. And God, I praise you for it. In your name I pray.